Now, back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Back with you on 590 The Fan. Martin and Charlie here till the top of the hour. Then the Hard Line takes over. Special Olympics, raising money all day. Right next door to us, it is the Kirkwood Brew House. A lot of folks have been stopping by, either having lunch or just stopping by to drop off a donation, helping out the folks at Special Olympics. Let's talk a little baseball. Charlie, what do you say we talk a little baseball?
I always love talking baseball and funny tweets.
Funny tweets, baseball, roll it all into one. You have Colton Wong with us. Colton, good to talk to you. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Now, last year, was last year your winter in St. Louis, and have you amended those plans this offseason?
I have. I'm actually getting ready right now. I leave tomorrow to work my way back to Hawaii. So,
yeah, once was probably enough.
It was fun, but I need to be back home.
I would think the workouts and such, too, it's a little easier to get out of bed in the morning in Hawaii to go hit some baseballs when it's 70 and sunny.
Exactly. And, you know, coming from Hawaii to training last year here was definitely a shock for me. You know, I never, ever woke up having to train in 10-degree weather. So that was definitely something new. But, you know, it was definitely fun. It was a good experience. And, you know, St. Louis definitely treated me well.
Where was the most random place somebody recognized you? You know, you're at the Home Depot. You're at Grant's Farm. I'm sure you got a lot of people coming up to you in general. But do you remember any moment that stood out?
Dang, honestly, that's the one thing with Cardinals fans is they recognize you anywhere. So literally everywhere I went, you know, there was one or two people that definitely recognized me. I mean, it's hard to miss a little Hawaiian kid with tattoos, so, you know, that's pretty fun.
So, Colton, let's talk about this tweet. I was just checking, and of course, this guy deletes it now, but your response has almost 2,000 likes, has over 400 retweets. So basically, I can't remember exactly what this guy said, but he kind of took a shot at you on Twitter,
yeah.
And then you respond, "That sucks because your mom said I'm her favorite." Boom. And then you won the day. I loved it. What made you kind of go for that? Because I'm sure if you're a professional athlete, there's always those haters out there on social media. Yeah. I don't know if you do this a lot, but you definitely got this guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was just one of those things. I was kind of playing around. You know, definitely excited about the signing or bringing back, you know, Jose and, you know, adding Willie to the, you know, people don't understand how big that is for our team. You know, having two guys with that much experience coming to this organization that, you know, they played for and everyone here knows them for, it's huge. So, you know, I was definitely excited. And, you know, obviously there's those Twitter trolls out there who, you know, always have something to say. So, you know, it was funny because I just put that tweet out and literally as soon as I put it out, this guy comes around and, you know, has to say something, you know, mean about how we play, this and that. Like, everyone is the best baseball player out there. So, you know, I felt like messing around with him. It was all in good fun. You know, hopefully he didn't take it too serious, but, you know, if you're going to dish it out, you better be ready to get it back.
No, I love it, man. That was a mic drop or maybe a pineapple drop. I don't know, in Hawaii. I mean, you nailed it. You won the day. And I've wondered in the past, have they ever coached you guys or said in spring training, all right, we've got all these meetings and today's is social media guidelines and, you know, where they say try not to engage with the idiots?
They do. I mean, they definitely do every once in a while, but you just got to figure out a way to do it without, you know, getting too personal. I felt like, you know, how I went about it was kind of funny. You know, it's just how people kind of go about things nowadays. And, you know, I didn't try to get too personal with them. Obviously, I put the boom at the end just as like a funny, you know, little exclamation point. But, you know, it's all in good fun. You know, people definitely, you know, have a lot of passion for this game. Fans want to see everyone do their best. And, you know, like I tell everybody every day, you know, not all of us are Mike Trouts. You know, some of us, you have a process that you have to go through, you know, through the years. And for me, you know, it's taken a little longer, but, you know, I know the player that I need to be the most successful right now. And, you know, I'm just going to keep building on the year I had this year.
And, Colin, you kind of touched on it, but when you hear the news that Jose Oquendo is back, are all you guys kind of texting each other and fired up about it? And I said this yesterday. It just, to me, it feels right for Jose Oquendo to be on the big league staff.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I everybody that I talk to, everyone who asks me about Jose Oquendo, I tell them, if it wasn't for Jose Oquendo, I wouldn't be the fielder that I am right now. I wouldn't be the player that I am right now. You know, Jose definitely took me under his wing when I came up and, you know, put everything into me. I mean, Jose was the one, when I first got drafted, you know, I was in Busch Stadium taking batting practice. And, you know, most of the time you just go there, warm up, you take batting practice, that's it. But, you know, I guess coming out of the, you know, the college ranks, I wasn't really considered that good of a defender. And, you know, Jose, first thing I get there, he tells me, he's, you know, I understand that you can hit, but do me a favor, try and win me a gold glove. And, you know, I took that so personal. I was like, you know what? You're right. You know, everyone always doubts me for, you know, what kind of defender I am. People didn't realize I didn't start playing second base until my sophomore year in college. So, you know, the transition from, you know, being a catcher all through my whole life, you know, to my freshman year of college being a center fielder to coming back and, you know, playing second base, I was still very new to that position. So, you know, it was kind of one of those things where people saw me, you know, for who I was at the time and didn't realize, you know, the drive and, you know, having someone like Jose Oquendo on your back to, you know, definitely show you how to become the best fielder you can be.
Give us an idea, the inner workings there, his style, because we know him pretty well, but for us in the media world, pretty low-key. But I've heard stories, I feel like he'll challenge you, he'll call you out, and he's not afraid to say if you screwed up. Is that accurate?
100%. You know, that was the one thing that I was so excited about is, you know, I felt like I played my best defensively, you know, when Jose was there because he constantly kept me on my toes, kept me aware of any kind of mistakes. Anytime it looked like I was getting lazy out there, he was always on me. He'd be waiting at the top step, ready to let me know exactly what I did wrong. And, you know, as a professional athlete, you know, you always tend to think that you got a lot of things figured out. But when you have someone like Jose who's always going to be on you, you know, he definitely keeps you on your toes and makes you want to become the best you can be.
And as they shift things around, even the bench coach is new because Mike Shildt was not the bench coach. Give people at home an idea. They hear that role. They don't really understand. What does the bench coach do on a regular basis, that role perhaps in the dugout? Maybe people at home have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, having Shildt as a bench coach has been huge. I mean, David Bell, you know, you can't talk enough about that guy. What an amazing person he was. Amazing bench coach, just someone who you could talk to, you know, about anything. He was just, he had so much knowledge. I mean, his family was bred in baseball. And, you know, I texted him as soon as he got the new job to congratulate him on, you know, that and moving, you know, close to home. But, yeah, you know, the bench coach is basically another head coach, you know, somebody who is going to go and talk to the players because Mike's on a top step, you know, doing what he's got to do to, you know, make sure all the moves are being made, make sure everything's being set. So to have a bench coach is basically that second head coach to go and tell the people, like guys who are on the bench who, you know, might need to come and pinch hit. He'll go downstairs and tell them that, or, you know, he'll make a call to the bullpen, or he'll make a call to video room to see if we want a challenge. So it's basically having a second head coach, you know, someone who can go and run around while Mike's, you know, on the top step making, you know, all the moves that he makes from there.
Colton, I'm guessing every offseason you pay close attention to moves and the hot stove talk and all that, but this offseason it seems like, and we've already seen some wholesale changes with the coaching staff, but when you hear John Mozeliak talk, it seems like there could be some major changes with the roster as well. Is this one of those offseasons where you're always going to be checking Twitter just to see what's going on with the team?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the fact that we haven't made the playoffs 2 years in a row, I think it's very unacceptable for our organization. I think, you know, Mo knows that. We know that. You know, the coaching staff knows that. And, of course, the fans know that. You know, we expect greatness here. We expect to be in the playoffs every year here. And, you know, to not do it 2 years in a row is definitely something that I think they're going to take into consideration. And I think, you know, that puts, you know, everybody kind of on, you know, I guess, you know, on, you know, just some sketchy ground. You know, you understand that this is a business. You know, the Cardinals are an organization who expect greatness. They expect to win every year. And the fact that we haven't done it the past 2 years, you know, I expect there to be some moves. You know, I expect there to for something to happen. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I think everyone but Yadi, like Mo said, is not safe. So we're all kind of, you know, just getting ready for the season, you know, excited for what's ahead. And, you know, we all know, you know, that there's a possibility things could happen.
Now, do you kind of anticipate a few, I don't know if we'd say bold moves, but are you guys as players expecting something of a roster shakeup?
I don't know. I don't. I mean, you know, obviously I try to leave that to the guys above me and just do what I have to do. But, you know, I think that, you know, how things are going, how the game's changing, you never know. You know, we got some young guys that came up, like Paul. I mean, that guy's probably not going either. He's probably just as untouchable as Yachty. You know, and you look at all the other young guys that came up, you know, Voit and, you know, all these young pitchers and young outfielders. You know, we've got a lot of good talent on this team. So, you know, there are a lot of trade chips that we can, you know, throw out there to see what we can get back. And, you know, I think that's the one thing that everyone is starting to realize is how much talent we actually have in this organization and, you know, when is the right time to make some moves to, you know, make a push for another World Series here.
And do you think the Cubs and maybe their fan base as much as anything kind of realize now it's tough to win it all. It's tough to get back to the series every year. I think probably they were anointed World Series champions back in February, and yet they're not playing in the World Series. I mean, it's probably a reminder. I mean, as much as you want to be in that every year, the reality is it just you're not going to make it every year. You're not going to be great every year.
Exactly. And the fact that we're all human, too. You know, I mean, obviously what the Cubs did in 2016 was amazing. You know, you never want to take anything away from those guys. They, you know, they had a really good team, and they did what they needed to do to win the World Series. But to do it time and time again, year after year, you know, that's such a grind on your body. It's such a grind mentally. You know, when I first got caught up, it was postseason five straight years. You know, so I was right in the thick of things, playing with these guys and, you know, grinding on those games. And, you know, when you're playing, you know, game 170, you know, you are starting to feel that already, you know, on the body. You're starting to feel that mentally, just how you're trying to dig for something and there's really nothing there. But, you know, I think the Cubs definitely are starting to realize that everyone is human. You know, this game is super hard. And, you know, they're still a good team, but, you know, there's growing periods. There's times where, you know, you're just things aren't going to go your way. And you just got to roll with the punches and keep going.
There's a lot of discussion about, you know, clubhouse chemistry. What makes it good? When does it go wrong? Is it always because of a winning team versus a losing team? Can a guy like Jose Oquendo, who has clubhouse cachet, clearly, who's liked by the players but also can hold them accountable, can he help in that regard, or is that solely up to the players when we talk about the chemistry?
Oh, for sure. For sure he can help. You know, I think anybody on that team, regardless of what rank or what position you're at, you know, you can definitely help in some way. This is, you know, the thing is, we're around our team more than we are our own family. So we lean on each other, you know, a lot, making sure that if we see somebody down or we see somebody not giving their all, you know, you have the authority to go and say something. I think that's the part of that makes this game so special, you know, and at this level, the fact that we literally hold each other accountable and we're all the best of the best, you know, at our positions and, you know, at this game, and to have other people to hold you accountable. They just want the best for you. You know, they want to push you because they know there's more in the tank. There's more they can get out of you. So, you know, I think the biggest thing for a lot of guys is understanding that and being able to say you're right. You know, I do need to get better, or I can push more. And, you know, I think that's something that Jose is definitely going to bring to the table, because if you don't want to push, he's going to make you push. You know, and if you don't want to go out there and do something, he's going to make you go out there, because Jose knows that there's more that you can give.
We're sort of on a personal crusade to get Tommy Pham a watch from Molina, because that was the bet. And then late in the year, the bet switched, and Tommy said, apparently, not only did I have to get the 20, and the 300, but I had to also make the playoffs. And so now poor Tommy didn't get the watch. We're pressuring Yachty. He's busy in Puerto Rico. Do you have any updates for us as far as Tommy and the watch?
You know, from what I heard, that was the deal. 20 and playoffs. So, I understand that sucks for Tommy, but at the end of the day, man, you know, if he keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to be able to buy, you know, maybe 10, 15 of those watches. So, you know, I wouldn't be too worried if I was him. He had an amazing year. He was definitely one of those guys that we needed this year. And to see what he did and to see, you know, being around that guy and seeing how hard he works day in and day out and, you know, the tireless amount of effort for this game and how much he cares about this game, you know, you couldn't be happier for that guy. And that's why I told him, I was like, you know, I understand that, you know, you might not be getting that watch this year. But, dude, if anything, go buy it yourself, because you put up a year that, you know, not that many guys can look back and say they will ever have.
And there's another guy on the Twitter tweets. He'll get after you. If somebody comes after him, you better look out. Now, you did a mic drop. I think Tommy will engage. He'll drop a couple of bombs, I think, on Twitter if people mess with him. That's another guy. Beware, yeah. Tommy Pham at the plate and on Twitter.
Exactly. Now, Tommy's one of those guys he loves to mess around with you know, fans on Twitter, fans on Instagram, just letting them know. And I think, you know, people sometimes they get a little too sensitive about it. Twitter is one of those things where people shouldn't even take that serious. You know, it's a bunch of people talking behind a computer or a phone. You know, so if you're going to take offense to that, or if you're going to get, you know, sad about it, then I'm sorry for you, man, because this is just a bunch of guys who are just trying to figure out any way to bring you down.
Colton, thanks for the time. Have a great winter. We'll catch up down the road.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Colton Wong, Cardinals second baseman, with us here on 590 The Fan. It dropped 100% reference, and we were looking around the room. 100%, which also is the move. Colton Pareko. So it's a Colton thing. 100%. 100%. It's a Colton thing.
Yeah, that's what was blowing my mind. But at first I was like, oh, that's funny. And then Martin kind of made the connection. And I kind of had a moment.
100%?
Yeah.
He also, Gardner, what did he drop there in the middle of that?
Well, he had three grind references. So, you know, he's a good ball player because he's always looking to grind. Yep. And he had a
little corporate narrative towards
apparently
the end.
Apparently he's auditioning to be a Cardinal executive because I heard an at the end of the day near the end of the interview as well.
You think Mo hands out talking points in spring? All right, here's some things that will come up this season. Remember to say at the end of the day, if you feel backed into a corner with the media, you just go, having said that, there
you
go. If
you would have said that, I would have walked out of the room and you guys, there'd been no grinder.
If anybody ever asks you about the past season and if it didn't live up to expectations, just say it was a foundational year. For all sports, that covers all sports.
And then I worked in a pineapple drop, and I didn't know if that was offensive or not.
I don't know that it was offensive.
Everything's offensive now.
It might have been, but I don't think it was that funny. You might have missed
wow.
it.
Wow.
Even if it, wow. Even if it wasn't. A,
wow.
I'm sorry, but even if it wasn't offensive, I'm not.
I
that
love
gets
that.
Me fired this is or awesome. Something, I'm sorry, but I had to say it.
Your days are numbered, okay?
All right.
I just was trying to think of something other than a mic drop. The guy that's proud of being from Hawaii. Like, I think Schaefer's probably right. I would have rather have been funny and offensive. I would have chosen that.
Yeah.
And also, sales staff, didn't I just read that Southwest is going to be having flights to Hawaii? Maybe we could do a week-long remote, hang out
yes.
with Colton, baseball talk, Southwest Airlines, get some sponsors. Let's do this.
Hey, we have sponsors like Window World. They'll get you hooked up. Window World encourages you to stop by their showroom. That's in Bridgeton on St. Charles Rock Road. Also on the web, windowworld.com. Set up an appointment. Get the free estimate. If you're looking for new windows in your home, it's 314-993-1800. Simply the best for less. That's been their slogan for a long time. And the reason is they're giving you a high-quality window at a low cost. So simply the best for less. You can't beat that. Been in St. Louis since 2003. 75 local employees, whether it's siding, patio doors, or those windows, call today. Set up the appointment at 993-1800. 314-993-1800. Get those windows installed before winter truly arrives. It's going to be cold this weekend. You can save on your heating bills when you get new windows. Every window you get is custom made, and they come with the good
housekeeping
seal of approval. Window World, simply the best for less. Windowworld.com at 993-1800. 1800. Let's get into the grinder.
If you're too careful, your whole life can become a
Falcon
grind.
Grinding every day.
Grinding it out.
It's grind time.
This is the grinder.
The grinder.
The grinder.
24 karat gold grinder.
Gonna try grinder for the first time.
Hey guys, make sure you're saying the World Series correctly. It's the World Series presented by YouTube TV.
Is that what it really is?
That's apparently what it is.
Oh, you didn't notice that?
Well, NLCS was Camping World, right?
It might have been.
I saw a lot of Camping World.
We couldn't get a logo, TV talk, a clean logo where it just says NLCS or ALS without the Camping World like slammed into the middle of it.
Was it fun having that YouTube advertisement behind home plate?
With the play button.
Press play button?
Yes.
It's genius because everybody noticed it and complained about it. That means you also noticed it.
So, the World Series presented by YouTube TV. Gotta tell you.
Shouldn't it be your tube? Because you kind of go on there and you get to watch whatever you want.
Now you're trying to change the name of the company?
You're fired. That's it.
Can I at least finish out the week?
Yeah, I'd like to see you in my office Friday.
Okay.
All right.
I don't have an office, by the way.
It's only a one-hour show.
Regarding the World Series presented by YouTube TV... I expected better celebrities in Los Angeles than they had. I mean, there were some names there, like, you know, Jerry Seinfeld was there.
Cheering for the Dodgers. Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah. Dustin Hoffman.
Those are pretty big names, though.
Rob Lowe.
George Lopez is there. Of course, you got Larry King and Mary Hart aren't even on the list.
They don't even get. I was going to say it's ageism. They don't even mention them now. The Dodgers give you an official list of who's there that's a celebrity, and they don't list Mary Hart or Larry King.
But to be fair, Mary Hart and Larry King get more TV time than anybody because they're seen in every single behind the pitcher shot.
Yeah, that's
they have true. The primo seats.
In so the real story, Marlins man is there, but he's not behind home. Finally, a game where he couldn't get that seat.
Really?
You notice that? He's there. He's not. He said he's not wearing bright orange either.
What's the point?
I don't know.
I saw average ticket prices $1,400 for the game so far.
I don't think money's an issue for him. It's access.
I just tweeted it out last night. Just let me know when Dabney Coleman or Treat Williams are there, and then I'll pay attention.
I had to Google to make sure Dabney Coleman was still alive when you said that.
Was he mid-80s, probably?
He's 87.
Jack Flack in Cloak and Dagger. Jack. One of my favorite movies growing up. And then, of course, he was in War Games. Had someone...
On Golden Pond, 9 to 5.
9 to 5, yeah. One of the more underrated actors, as is Treat Williams.
Was Dabney Coleman a teacher in one of these kind of teeny bopper shows in the 90s?
Probably.
I'm thinking like you're Boy Meets World.
Yo, no, that's not him. I knew you were going to go there. I don't remember.
Not going to go to you.
Was it Mr. McAfee?
The head of the Boy class. Meets World?
I'll look it up.
It's not that guy, though. Not the same actor. Treat Williams, of course, the star of The Substitute 2.
Dabney Coleman is 85.
Yeah, mid-80s.
He's five. Lady Gaga was there. Seth MacFarlane, Arsenio Hall, Mario Lopez. Yeah, okay. Mary Hart.
I still find it weird that Mario Lopez made that transition from being an actual actor to, like, interviewing actors as, like, a host of one of these entertainment shows. Have we just accepted that at this point, that that's not weird anymore? I think that's completely weird.
I hadn't really thought about it.
But don't you think...
To be fair.
He was pretty darn good as Slater.
Yeah.
But then as a serious actor, I can't think off the top of my head of any big-time role. So I feel like...
Was he great when his Venus?
Yeah, I think he might have been. But I think this is kind of his bailiwick, don't you think? He's good. I've seen him host some of these award shows or pageants, and he's pretty good live and... You know, forming sentences and not being nervous. So this is kind of his deal now.
He should know who he is, though, and kind of typecast himself and, like, grab a chair when he interviews people and turn it around backwards and sit on it like he used to when he was Slater. That's how he should interview
people.
So
he's the Hispanic Ryan Seacrest, and Seacrest is the white Nick Cannon. Is that fair?
Yes.
So what's Nick Cannon?
He's the black Ryan Seacrest.
Okay, that makes sense. Uh-huh. All right.
You want a host? That's what I'm saying. Those are your three. And they have bailiwicks, apparently.
Why is it always about race?
No, I'm just pointing out, depending on what you're looking for, you know. I mean, we're all one people.
We are.
And stuff.
We're all one people. And we should band together. To defeat bears. A little bear with me here. I don't know if you saw this.
I have to say, I think I was thinking of this. I know I'm interrupting, but...
No, go ahead.
It's been a while.
Dabney Coleman, for two seasons... was the star of a show called Drexel's Class. He played Otis Drexel, a teacher.
I forgot about Drexel's Class because I don't think I watched it at all.
No one did.
But I do love Dabney Coleman.
That was 91-92.
I'll see if I can get some pirated copies of that. We could all watch it together.
A Fox show.
Let's do that.
That apparently didn't do too well.
Yeah. No, there's none of those. Hey, what's so funny? Hey,
have you seen the video where somebody compiled all the promos Joe Buck has read during World Series over the years of the failed Fox shows? That's hilarious.
Whatever the 2006, it was Michael Rapaport, and it was 2006, and that was the Cardinals World Series where there were so many rain delays and or rainouts that I think they plugged the crap out of that. I forget now what it was called. Rapaport 2006. Look that up there, Shafe, while you're still here. Like Michael Rapaport. But that one just got pimped. It was like Deadly Sin, or it had like a punny name. But that is funny.
And then when Turner had it for a while, that George Lopez, there was the one postseason where you saw so many George Lopez, and I think Conan the year before, where you're kind of sick of them.
Every year they had a new show they were launching, and they used the postseason. Frank Caliendo had a show.
Yes.
Bill Engvall had a show. George Lopez had an. It's either called George or it's called Lopez or it's called the George Lopez Show or the Lopez Show.
Hey, you have a lot of different shows. It's like radio. Sometimes you have a show, it doesn't work.
And it's what's called Nick and the Badger. The other one was called the Badger. The other one's called the Nick. You see,
Nick.
I think the War at Home may have been the name of this Rappaport show from 05 to 07.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Kind of. Now he works for Barstool.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to work for ESPN?
Correct, for one episode.
Something about bears?
I'm going to interrupt the grinder?
Can you
You can't interrupt your own segment.
Can I do this?
Can you interrupt Chuck's
interruption? Mr. Feeney, we had on the tech line. Not Mr. McAfee, as I said. Mr. Feeney. Oh,
who played Mr. Feeney?
I don't know the actor's name.
He
died.
Someone, I'm sure, has William Daniels, I think, is on the text line. Sounds is what we got.
What happened?
I played a bear sound effect.
And this happened.
Bear with me. Just wanted to point out, Martin, I've been sitting on this one for a couple weeks. Estes Park, a bear, mama bear and her cub, broke into a pizza store while it was closed and ate all the dough and some of the salami they had in there. Broke into a window. Robbed the joint, ate their food, and hightailed it out of there.
And I was just there this summer. I can tell it's a pretty main street. It's a pretty active area. It's not real remote.
Right.
If we're talking about downtown Estes Park.
Apparently it was. So I wanted to let you know and give you the heads up on that.
We did stay in a condo.
That story is several weeks old. I didn't know whether to tell you or not because I know you guys have vacationed there before. But at least you're not in Russia. Because aggressive polar bears are holding locals in a Russian village hostage after being drawn to a nearby walrus rookery, leaving residents unable to venture outdoors. The one-ton predators are thought to have forced hundreds of frightened walruses to jump off 125-foot cliffs to their deaths before feasting on the carcasses. This is what polar bears are doing. Around 20 of the fearsome bears have surrounded the coastal area of Rikarpi, population of 601, with one cub even trying to enter a house through a window. The polar bears were attracted by a walrus rookery in a special protection zone in the Russian far eastern region of Chukotka. A local wildlife official called the situation alarming. So here we are. 20 polar bears or so just terrorizing people in a town, kind of remote, obviously. And they can't get out. They can't go out of their house. Walruses are jumping off cliffs to their deaths so they don't have to be attacked by these apex predators.
Why wouldn't you fight back, though? If your other option is death, don't you fight? The only other option is death anyway. But a more peaceful death, maybe?
One of these people it's the WWF, the World Wildlife Foundation, I guess it is. They have a polar bear patrol. Didn't know that. Bad idea.
Why don't you start hashtag save the walrus?
That's a good one.
That way you're not anti-bear, you're pro-walrus.
I like how you spun that for me. Thank you. Says, we are trying to save the lives of both people and Red Book polar bears. No, just people. Just people. There doesn't need to be 1A and 1B in priorities here. Help the people. That's a grinder.
Nice.
But they're kind of cute. Those little bears. They ride those little unicycles.
Can I just say real quick? I know
real
we have
quick,
to go.
Real quick.
We had a great interview with Colton Wong. Didn't get a lot of text response. We mentioned Dabney Coleman and Mr. Feeney and got about 30 texts.
I think because when you have a pro athlete on, they're listening and it's quality content. And then when it's just us jacking around, they're like, you guys need some help. Clearly.
True.
B&G Tuck Pointing, one of our great sponsors. Love Rich Galati and his entire team because what they can do is make your chimney look brand new again or your garage. I know for a fact. It's falling apart. Bricks are fine, but they don't look good when the Tuck Pointing needs to be redone. They can come out, get it done, reasonably priced, clean up right when they're there, other than the work itself is beautiful. Solid tuck pointing, spot tuck pointing, rebuilding, foundation repair, caulking, waterproofing, all of it. BGTuckPointing.com, the website to check out some of their work, or call Rich directly at 363-0525, 314-363-0525. General liability insured, workman's comp, B&G Tuck Pointing, the best in the brick. So if you need some tuck pointing work done, make sure you call the folks at B&G. And don't forget that Smart Pack is going live next week on InsideSTL.com. It starts next Monday. A collection of 20 digital coupons from our 590 sponsors, also local businesses. chance for you to get those great deals, and all it costs is $20, and you're going to get 20 different offers. It's valid through January 31st of next year. The 5-9 of the Fan Smart Pack with a total value over $200. So look for that Monday, the 30th, for our listeners. Check it out at InsideSTL.com. The Smart Pack, how about that? Saving you money starting next Monday at InsideSTL.com. The Hard Line is coming to our next right here on 5-9 of the Fan.
Got a good deal. Congratulations.